folks, Chris Daly here, and I'm always privileged to have the means of working my partner Janice to interview Jamaicans doing wonderful things all across the globe. Today we have such a great case. We have Miss Pauline Binder. She's an author. She migrated to New York City, which pursued a degree in sociology, and she worked at the Sociology at Metropolitan Hospital. Upon retiring, she, of course, pursued a second career in writing. Currently, she's been writing poetry and short stories and essays. Her works have been published in many literary magazines, such as The Gleaner and other places, and even Jamaicans.com. I invite you to settle in, come listen, and discover a vibrant way with words. To do the interview would be my partner, Janice. Janice, take it away.
Well, thank you, Chris. Hi, Pauline.
Hi, Janice.
It's so good to hear from you. I love this book because
it has such resonance.
I mean, I wear dreads now, but there was a time when I had the relaxer and the jerry curl and that era, right? So I was definitely a patron at one of these beauty shops, right? And then I happened to have gone, at one point I was at an American Black beauty shop, and then I ended up going to a Jamaican beauty shop. So this whole thing, you know, while I'm reading this, I can literally see this. I mean, I know it's based in New York, but and I'm in Chicago, but I could it just resonated. So I saw me in this book, you know? Yeah.
Yes.
So tell us about a little bit about your Jamaican roots.
Yes, well, I was born in Clarendon, in Chapleton, Clarendon. And after my mom died when I was three, I went to live with my two aunts at different times. And, in Kingston, Ballard River, Maypen, I, lived all around because of the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Ah. So in your childhood, what were some of your favorite pastimes?
My favorite pastime really was going to school, believe it or not. I went to Alpha Elementary School, and I have very, very fond memories of that.
I went
to Ballard River School, and, very nice. But then I lost my eyesight, became too poor to go to school after that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but is Alpha, because I've heard that name before, is Alpha a school in Kingston?
Yes, it's Kingston and South Camp Road, 26 South Camp Road, I remember.
Yeah, because I think I heard that. I've heard of that name before. Maybe
yes.
One of our
And there's Alpha Academy, but I went to just elementary school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I've heard of that. Okay, and so what prompted you to migrate to the U.S.?
Well, I mentioned my eyes. My aunt, who had migrated to New York, thought it was a good idea to let the doctors here look at me, because at the time what I needed was corneal transplants, and they did not do that in Jamaica at the time. Mm. So I came here to get it done.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So when did you discover your gift for the word?
I would say when I was probably in high school. That's the time when I started writing, and I got little praises for it. One of my teachers took a poem I wrote and said she's gonna frame it and put it on her wall. That made me feel good. I don't remember what the poem was, but I remember the feeling it gave me.
Yeah, it's amazing though. How one gesture in a child's life can impact them years, for the rest of their lives, and people don't understand that this is such a vital age when you're a child. What you say to a child, what you show a child, how you treat a child, because look how that writing impacted you to this day, where you're such a good writer. You know what I mean?
Yes, Absolutely. Yeah. What you do, what the experiences you have as a child, they stay with you, especially the significant ones, because I can't remember what I had for dinner last night, but I can remember way back when I was a child and somebody said something or did something.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah. Is there a person who encouraged your talent development?
I would say, you know, mostly teachers. Mostly mm-hmm. teachers that did
that's
that.
That's probably why you like school.
yeah. That's true. Yeah. Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah. What motivated the topics and themes you pursued? Because, I mean, when I'm reading this book, you know, you're going back and forth. You're doing a Jamaican thing, and I could see that. And then you do an American scene, I could see that. You know, what motivated the topics and themes?
Well, starting with the beauty shop, I thought this is a place where a lot of Jamaica, you know, and especially on weekends, mm-hmm. we're going to do our hair and all that. So you have a community right there,
yes.
and, you know, you have a lot of people that you gather them together, you know, in a place mm-hmm. and you tell their story, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and whether it is a Caribbean beauty shop or an American Black beauty shop, I think we have the same certainly the same experiences in from that context, at least for women, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a place where you could relax, just get away from it all and just feel really good about yourself. So the beauty shop served as a backdrop for your book. What triggered such a scene? I mean, I know from my perspective, but I mean from yours. Why did you choose the beauty shop?
Well, the reason I chose it was, you know, just because of what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And in beauty shops, you know, they say people will tell stories about themselves that they wouldn't tell their significant other. You know, for some reason, you feel free, you know, in that community, you know, and you just, you know, just open up and talk, and you're talking, and all of these things come out.
Yeah, and then also there was the significance of touch, because someone's grooming you, because I don't know, you're into psychology, so you know that humans need to be touched about 8 times for the day to really thrive. So the fact that someone's touching your hair, grooming your hair, you're relaxed, and, you know, you have that human connection, I would think.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. The chapters between Jamaica and the U.S. base incident, what were your childhood memories or conversations with Jamaicans?
Well, you know, in Jamaica, when you're a child, you should not interfere in big people business.
Mm-hmm.
Big people talking, and you mind your own business, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not supposed to be hearing these things. But you have ears, you know, you have ears. And mm-hmm. I heard, you know, I used to hear a lot of stuff, not exactly like as I wrote it, because, you know, it's not based on people, but you take those experiences, those words, and you think about it, and you mix it up, and, you know, and you mix it up in a nice soup, and then it goes.
And then there you get it. Yeah, kind of like the chapter where it had the twins, Iris and Lily Crawford, exchanged some really personal things, you know what I'm saying? Was that common to hear a shop you patronize, you know, if you could share a backstory for your writing development?
Well, I hear these things, I understand them, and I just put them, like, I didn't know an Iris and a Lily, right? But
mm-hmm.
I just put certain things that I have heard in the past, you know, mm-hmm. about people. For example,
like the wedding incident.
I used to hear about a man getting married, and his sweetheart comes to the wedding, you know, caused chaos. These are the things people talk. I used to hear about that, and they like, how dare she? How could she do that?
Could she? You know? How could you ruin the next woman's big day? You know, but it is soap opera, and soap opera and talk shows are a reflection of human experiences, which is why they become so attractive. Everyone's seen, I don't think as much as it used to be, but there used to be a time when you could literally turn on the TV from 9 to, say, 5, and it would be this show, you know, like every hour, and even soap operas, you know. So what I'm saying is, did you use their experiences to leverage this technique of drawing in the, you know, like the human interaction type?
Yes, it's all about human interaction. I mean, we live our lives, you know, it's really a soap opera if you think about all the things that happen, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why we're drawn to it.
And if it doesn't happen to you, it happens to someone you know. And you're like, oh, my God, that's like so-and-so.
Or you hear it from somebody who knows somebody who did that or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So speaking of soap opera drama, as you know by now, that what they're doing now is that, say, if a child is in Jamaica, you're in the U.S. or wherever, and you want to get a visa to bring your child to you, they're now requiring you to do a DNA test before the visas are issued. And why stir up the pot and make people unhappy? Because you might find out something you don't want to find out, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Well, when I originally wrote this manuscript, and the time I placed it in was like in the 80s, early 90s. So I don't know if they were doing that then, but I don't mean to upset anybody, but we know about the jacket story, you know. We know that story. So I threw it in there for entertainment purposes.
That's true. So how can we get a copy of this fine work, Doing Hair?
It's at Amazon.com.
Awesome.
I use the KDP Publishing on Amazon, and that's where you can get it.
Yeah, you can get hard copy or get it for your Kindle, which is a great, great thing. So you hear that, Jamaicans worldwide, especially the women, I think you would really, well, I mean, I guess it could be for either one. I mean, for the women, it would be like, it resonates for me. And if a man wants to read it, then it's like, well, I understand, if you want to understand women, you know, it could be for, if you want to understand Caribbean women in general, Jamaican women in particular, you could read this book and it really takes you there. Or even if you're not.
If you're not, because I've had people of different ethnic groups who said, who got the book and they're just stoked. They love it.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. Because like I say, I used to, I went to an American Black Beauty spa. Mm-hmm. And that all these incidents resonated with me. And then, of course, when I went to the Caribbean beauty spot, it also resonated with me. So it's not just for a specific person, specific ethnic group, but it could just resonate. So that's why I was saying, you know, if you're a woman and you go to shops or beauty shops, this is something that's going to appeal to you because you'll really like it. And if you're a man, maybe the barbershop, I don't know the barbershop experience, but this is definitely a way for you to understand women and their wants and needs. So we definitely want you to support this fine Jamaican author, Doing Hair, DOIN_hair, and it's a novel by Pauline Bender. What can we expect from your pen going forward?
Well, I have a book that I've written. It's about vows, marriage vows, and advice for the couple. And there's also proverbs about marriage from all over the world.
Nice. So, and then Valentine's Day is coming up. But we're going to definitely invite you back. Chris and I are going to have you back, and you're going to tell us all about those in the future.
Yes.
So in closing, do you have any final words of wisdom for our audience?
Well, my final word of wisdom is to enjoy life. Enjoy life. Because it's only one you have.
That's
enjoy
right, baby. It's not a dress rehearsal, so just do it and do it big. So to learn more about Jamaican Diaspora, visit JamaicanDiaspora.com. To learn more about Chris Daly, visit Media2Grow, and that's media with the number 2Grow.com. Pauline Bender's book can be purchased at Amazon. It's called Doing Hair by Pauline Bender. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Bye now.
Bye. Thanks.